afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Thursday, September 12th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I bet the folks are here tired of hearing you say my co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul. He's been on all week.
Well, if they're not, I am. No.
I don't doubt that at all.
I enjoy doing programs.
Oh, I tell you what, just loving me to pieces, aren't you?
Now, you know I was only pulling your leg, right?
I'm offended.
Well, I was offended today by the gold pricing. And, you know, this was all due to the European Union and Mario Draghi, what he's doing with the rates. And I'll tell you what, gold was up, what, almost $30 at the open. And we went as high as 1525. And 11 o'clock, the European markets close. And then they hit gold after that. So gold wants to go up. Thank your U.S. government. When you think our government is so good, they're the ones who hit it and keep it from going up, because you can't have really high gold prices with a raging stock market hitting record highs. The two don't go hand in hand. So inflation, yes, what happened to the dollar? It was a little weakness in the dollar, but nothing much. We're still at 98.37. It was down 0.26. Crude oil was down another 0.67 at 55.08. But gold today, right now in the New York spot price after market trading, electronic trading, up 210 at 1500, right on the nose. Silver was down 4 pennies at 1815. Platinum was up 7 at 954. Palladium was up $46 at 1624, up almost 3%. And again, that was that just followed rhodium from the big rise yesterday. It was up, what, almost 9%. It's up almost 6% today. So good day in those white metals. I mentioned what the crude oil was doing and the dollar. And let's see what the stock market is doing. And again, just more chatter and so forth on the trade war that sort of looks like the Dow was up 46 points at 27,183. The NASDAQ was up 24 at 8,194. The S&P was up 8 at 3,009. 10-year yield is 1.79%. Let's see. European markets were basically unchanged. And I think everyone was waiting, and I think everyone is pretty much waiting also to see what the Fed's going to do at their next meeting this month. The European Central Bank Chief Mario Draghi, and he's about to be replaced with Christine Lagarde here shortly. But this is his final decision before he leaves, and he certainly did he's leaving with a bang. So what he did, he pledged indefinite stimulus to revive an ailing Eurozone economy. So he's basically tying the hands of his successor for years to come. And, of course, this is also sparking an immediate conflict with our president. Draghi's 8-year mandate nears its close. The ECB cut rates deeper into negative territory and promised bond purchases with no end date to push borrowing costs even lower, hoping to kickstart activity nearly a decade after the bloc's debt crisis. How long do you think, if you've been doing this for 10 years and it hasn't worked, you think this is going to work? I mean, Butch, it's insanity.
Well, that's what one of the signs of sanity is, doing the same thing over and over, look for different results. It just doesn't work that way.
It just doesn't work that way. And they just keep doing it because that's all they can do. And I think it's better to do this and to keep it going for as long as they can than actually deal with the global collapse that everyone is facing. This bigger than expected stimulus is going to increase pressure on the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan to ease policy next week to support the world economy increasingly characterized by low growth and protectionist threats to free trade. Draghi told at a news conference today, he said, "You remember me saying that all instruments were on the table, ready to be used. Well, today we did it. That also tells me this is the last thing that they can do. If all the instruments are on the table, ready to be used, and you're telling everybody we used all the instruments, this is all they got. This is it. This is the last thing they'll be doing. There were some doubts, even in the ECB itself, as to whether the latest measures, again, most of the few remaining tools of the monetary policy arsenal would be enough. We talked about that. Of course, Trump was upset with the move today, who just this week had called on the U.S. Fed to adopt a negative rate policy. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin was on CNBC this morning, and he is talking about pretty much, it sounds like it's a done deal, of a 50-year Treasury next year. So wow. They're investigating it. They're pretty sure they're going to do it. He said he didn't totally commit to it, but from the way he was talking, and you know, I don't know what else would stop it from happening. President Trump tweeted that they are trying and succeeding in depreciating the euro against the very strong dollar, hurting U.S. exports, and the Fed sits and sits and sits. They get paid to borrow money while we are paying interest. Well, you got to remember also, as the euro drops, it costs those people more and more to buy things. So, you know, it depends on how you depreciate your currency. And with what Europe is doing now, it's not a happy place to be. But a 10 basis cut point in the ECB's deposit rate to negative 0.5% was fully expected. I thought they went to 0.6. Maybe it was 0.5. So whether it takes let's see if there was anything else. Draghi has always promised to do whatever it takes to save the euro. And so there you have it. And doing everything possible. A simple rate cut would have increased the cost to commercial banks of parking their more than 1 trillion euros worth of excess reserves safely at the ECB, a dangerous move since banks transmit the bulk of its policy to the real economy. Let's see if there's anything else in here interesting to read.
You know, Melody, everybody's shuffling the deck, trying to get a better deal.
Yeah,
I mean, all over the world doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You think it's going to work?
No. Well, you know, they pieced together for how many years now? Over 100 years in America, and it's never worked. It's declined every day, but at such a pace, people don't pay attention to it. But when it finally collapses, you're going to pay attention then.
And they all know it's going to happen. That's why they're trying like heck to keep it from happening.
That's right.
But it's going to happen anyway. Because they're not doing anything to really fix the problem.
And you know, as
they're
you said,
talking
you're
about it.
In a sense, they can't, because if they try to fix it, it's going to collapse everything, which needs to be done to start over. But they can't do that. The whole world will shut down economically. It really would. The whole thing's based on fraud.
They have to find the right excuse.
Exactly. Yeah.
They have to find the right, you know, event, the scapegoat, you know, whoever that might be, or whatever it might be. And so, yeah, you're right. It's just... It truly is, and I get asked this question every time, you know, how long can they do it? When's the date? And I think it was James Corbett who told me, he says, anybody who really knows and says they think they know the date and gets everybody excited about dates and so forth, he says they really don't know anything.
No.
The more they do dates, the less they know. And it's true, because they're very powerful. They have all of these tools. But, you know, we often talk about black swans happening that kind of affects us to where, but, you know, they have their black swans also.
They do.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people know, I've said this many, many times, maybe I word it away this time, people see it better. This calamity, this economy, I'll get it right in a minute. This economy collapsed in 1933 when they took gold out of the money. And worse in 1964 when it took silver out of it back in the dollar. The reason I'm saying that is this. No, it didn't go to zero, although it's only worth 3 cents what was back then, 1933. It fell gradually. It started collapsing over 100 years ago, basically. And now it's coming to more fruition. We're seeing more and more inflation. and instability in the whole world. So it started collapsing. Well, if you're looking for it to collapse, it started a long time ago. It's like cancer. It doesn't kill you overnight, folks. It takes time for it to spread, but eventually it gets you. And the same thing with this situation. Fiat currencies worldwide and all the other shenanigans they do are going to destroy us eventually. It's been a slow process. They give it chemotherapy, they give it radiation to keep it going, but to run out of options, Melody, it's going to go.
And it's just like chemo and radiation. They're designed. I mean, that's just part of what kills you too.
Yep.
So all the programs that they're creating, it's there to kill you too, in addition to the cancer. So it's, you know, all of their fixes, you know, it's just makes the situation worse. Gives you a little bit of a reprieve, but so that was the big story of the day, and it was interesting to see gold just boom at the open, but then as soon as the European markets closed, you saw the prices coming down. So.
Well, you see that 3 months ago, 4 months ago, gold was 12-something an ounce. Silver was 15-something. Now gold is 1,500 holding steady. Silver is 18-something holding steady. That's a pretty good increase in 3-4 months, don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Gold has stood extremely well this year, and I still want to see it building that base around 1,500. We're a little bit below that, but it tried today, so the longer it stays above this 1,500 level, it just solidifies its resistant level of 1,500. So.
Well, gold and silver always goes up and retreats a little bit, but never retreats back down as far as it was. It goes up again a little higher than what it was into high. It retreats back down below that a little while, then it goes up again. It's a stepping stone. It doesn't just happen overnight.
Correct. And every little pullback that we have, it makes the market healthy. So.
The trick is to buy it when it pulls back, then go from there.
You can't time the market, Butch.
No, you really can't. But when gold pulls back from 1,540 down to 1,500, buy it now. It may be 1,520 tomorrow, it may be 1,480 tomorrow. But it's not going back down to $1,000, I don't think, or down to $500. It's going to keep going up in steps. You really can't lose in the long run.
No, because in the long run, I mean, of all the investments out there, and I'm not guaranteeing anything, I'm not promising anything, but if you take the simple fundamentals and what moves the price of gold, and when you view it as a money, it is probably the closest to a sure thing.
Yes, it is.
Than anything that's out there.
That you can find.
You know,
it
people
really
think
is.
Your bonds and your treasuries are guaranteed by governments. No, they're not. They're not guaranteed. You think so because, you know, it's a government issued paper, so you know they're going to back it. So it's not guaranteed.
It's like the FDIC. It's a fraud.
Yes.
They can't insure everybody's money in the bank to $100,000. They know that. It's to get people's confidence to invest in things. They cannot do that, and they haven't done that, and they're not going to do that. They can't. It's impossible.
Too much money out there.
You get that
insurance,
right.
They're already in negative territory. So you're right. The insurances don't cover it. And I think the bank runs this time will be a little different because you're not going to have everybody walking up to because everybody does things online. They do things by their phone. So they're going to be able to shut you out quicker than how they could before.
That's pretty true.
They didn't have to go home walking past a line of people waiting to get their money out.
They used to have to click a button on a computer. Just click a button on a computer and it's done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Folks,
that's how insecure your money is in the bank. And besides, you're losing money every day with it. You're not gaining anything. You're not gaining enough interest on it to pay to even make it worth keeping in there. So, anyway.
What else you got?
Well, I got a lot here. I really do. And this is an article. It's a couple days old, but I want to share it because I think it's important. Everyone's talking about $15 an hour minimum wage. And this article says, what doesn't cost $15 an hour and talk back to customers? AI. McDonald's replaced more humans with drive-through AI. Now, folks, this is serious. It's going to cut out somebody's job, and maybe a young person's job. It's going to college needs it. They won't get the job next year because they don't pay a kiosk doesn't demand $15 an hour. It just stands there and takes orders. McDonald's announced on Tuesday the acquisition of Mountain View-based voice tech startup Apprente in order to integrate its technology into the food chain's drive-thrus, according to Engadget. Apprente employees will form the company's new Silicon Valley McD Tech Labs, which McDonald's intends to expand over time. The AI claim handle complex complex multilingual, multi accent that would help me maybe, and multi item conversational ordering, allowing for faster, simpler, and more accurate order taking. According to the report, while McDonald's claims the new software is part of the company's effort to alleviate pressure on restaurant employees who currently have to decipher what customers want, Apprente will form a pivotal part of McD Tech Labs, a new restaurant technology group based in Silicon Valley. The Apprente team will become the group's founding members, and co-founder Ismar Arrow will serve as vice president. McDonald's commitment to innovation has long inspired our team. It was quite clear from our various engagements that McDonald's is leading the industry with technology, said Ismar Arrow, PhD, co-founder of Apprente and vice president of McD Tech Labs. Apprente was born out of an opportunity to use technology to solve challenging real-world problems, and we're thrilled to now apply this to creating personalized experience for customers and crew. The company is planning on hiring more engineers, data scientists, and other advanced technology experts to build its presence in Silicon Valley. McDonald's plans to roll out self-service kiosks across all U.S. restaurant locations by 2020, folks. That's only about four months from now, reducing the need to employ as many human cashiers. So that means people are not going to get $15 an hour. They're going to get nothing because this kiosk will do it for you, and it won't have it in place by the end of the year, by 2020. That's just a few months away. Really, that I guess in a way it certainly makes sense for McDonald's, because you don't have to pay $15 an hour. You don't have to pay unemployment or taxes or anything else or Social Security. This kiosk set up, and it just stands there and takes orders, just like a husband does. No, let's move on. But anyway, but this is something that, I mean, imagine the young folks who may live at McDonald's for years being cut out of this, and especially people that are trying to maybe further education, go to school, or just trying to get a second job. That's not good, is it?
No, it isn't. And but you know, I'll tell you what. Oh, people are going to get so mad at me by saying this. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Do I dare?
Well, go
Do you
ahead,
know
dog.
What? I'll tell you what. The way people work. Oh, thank goodness the break is here. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned if you want to hear what I was going to say.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, our radio program is live. You can listen to it live. And I had a lot of nice phone calls this week where people are saying that they're beginning to tune in, listening to the program, and I want to welcome all of you to the program. So I'm done.
Okay.
Welcome.
You were about to make a comment and you got cut off. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. Well, you know, going into the break, we were talking about robots and the service and so forth. And what I was going to say is, you know, the type of service that you receive anymore at a lot of these retail stores and service, any service, not doesn't have to be food, rest, anywhere. I think I'd almost prefer a robot anymore because people are just so nasty anymore. And not everybody. There's some very sweet, helpful people out there, but they're few and far in between. And, the one Democratic Yang, Mr. Yang. The first time I heard an interview with him, and I mentioned this on the program several times, he was talking about a trucker revolution. He expects, and I haven't heard him say this on any of the TV programs that he's interviewed on, but he was talking about how eventually it's the truckers that are going to be hurt the most, and which just disrupts our whole system of supply and delivery, the whole supply chain. And he says they're going to march on Washington. He says because government is not taking an interest, government is not taking any precautions for when robots, technology, is replacing human beings.
True.
You're going to have a handful of people with nothing to do. Government can't support them. And when you have nothing to do, you get in trouble. And it's he's talking about, and I'm not a fan of Yang, don't get me wrong. Is it Yang or Wang? Yang.
Yang.
Andrew Yang. And but he talked about, and he rattled off the millions and millions of jobs. And this isn't a situation that's 20 years away or 30 years away, Butch. We're talking 5 and 10 years away.
Maximum, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Is that, yeah? Or now. It's happening
yes.
now.
Yes. I agree.
So you're right. And, you know, so all these politicians are out there. Oh, $15 an hour, $15 an hour. It's just so they get elected. That's all.
You're right. And even Bernie, who is the number one screamer about this, doesn't even pay his own staff that much an hour, and they're mad at him. Talk about a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So anyway, you will go from there now.
Go ahead.
You all right? This I thought was interesting. Core consumer prices surge at fastest rate since 2008. There's 2008 again being brought into the picture. Consumer prices surge at fastest rate since 2008. Would you call that inflation, Melanie?
That's... I'm trying to think of what government calls it.
They call it cost of living, probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's inflation. And it's raised, it's went up this past year, this year, last year, higher than it had this year than higher than it has since 2008. Now, I know that it doesn't jump up to $5 a loaf of bread overnight. But let's say it adds a nickel to a loaf of bread, a nickel to a gallon of milk, and then whatever. That does add up to some money when you go to the store, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Again, it's creeping incrementalism. They are bringing it in a little bit at a time, so no one screams too loud. And they're not going to scream until they find out their next paycheck's not going to buy groceries. And many people right now are making a decision between eating and medicine. I know someone personally. They called and told me I had to make a decision. I didn't get something this month because I had to eat. Or I had to pay the power bill. I know these folks personally, Melody. I just spoke to one of them today. I said I had to make a decision. Do I pay the power bill or do I eat? They paid the power bill. That's a tough decision to make, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So anyway.
Particularly when there's other people involved.
Exactly. This gentleman's worked hard all his life. And what's the sad part is there's nothing I can really do to help him. I mean, it really isn't.
Yeah. There's not much you can do.
But the next article, thanks. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, and that's the deception that we receive from government. And everywhere, basically, oh, inflation is low and tame. There is none. Well, no, they've disguised it. They disguised their inflation. They exported our inflation to China. Prices are coming back. Inflation's coming back. But inflation is also, it's described, truly, as more dollars. You know, your dollars are getting weaker. It's a monetary problem.
Every day. So the economy has not went to the bottom, but it's falling every day, folks. Don't wait for it to collapse. It is collapsing right now. And this next article I thought was kind of telling. CEOs abandon ship. Record 159 chief executives exits in August as overall layoffs surge. Now, I'm not maybe this is for real. The August Challenger report says 58,480 announced cuts led by tech trade issues a growing concern. U.S.-based employers ramped up the pace of downsizing in August as companies announced plans to cut 53,480 jobs from their payrolls. This is up 37.7% from July's total of 38,845. Melanie, 40% increase in a month. Is that a lot?
What
wow.
Do you think? Yeah.
I think. August total is the fourth highest for job cuts this year, and marks the eighth consecutive time job cuts were higher than the corresponding month one year earlier. So the execs are getting a little bit frustrated. Some of them are actually walking off the job now. Employers are beginning to feel the effects of the trade war and imposed tariffs by the U.S. and China. In fact, trade difficulties were cited as a reason for over 10,000 jobs cut in August. And Andrew Challenger, Vice President Challenger Gray and Christmas Incorporated said, "We are continuing to see investor concerns shaking confidence in the markets, and employers appear to be cutting workers in response to a slowdown in demand for their products and services." Now, I don't care what the reason is. When 60,000 people or so are laid off, 55,000 laid off, that's 55,000 homes without a paycheck. They may get some unemployment, some other things for a while, but it doesn't last forever. Now, I always say, "Well, that's too bad. That's them." What if it were you, or your children? While job cuts are up in every region, companies located in southern United States have been the largest jump in job announcements, as employers in the region have announced 53% more job cuts than through the same period last year. 53% more job cuts just last year in the southern part of the country. So, you go figure it out. If things are so good, why are CEOs quitting? And 55,000 people last month lost their job, on top of almost 40,000 a month before that. If it's so good, what's going on here? I mean, over a period of time, if it's 40,000 a month so far, that's 250,000 jobs this month, this year already, and more going, Melody. That's a lot of workers.
Yes.
And that does bother me, because these people, even though maybe it's not you and I, by the grace of God, we're still doing okay as far as keeping the bills paid and paying the power bill. I could actually buy groceries and pay the power bill this month. But some of these people can't, and they have children to feed. It breaks my heart beyond words to say that. But it is what it is, and there's no point trying to turn our head about it and act like it's not happening, because it is. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, it's just another sign of the times. And I don't believe in trickle-down economic works. Trickle-down economics works.
Never has.
Never has. I don't know why it would now. There's no incentives. And just because you lower corporations' taxes doesn't mean that that's the incentive for them to allow it to trickle down. They're just going to pocket more. The tax cuts allowed people to go out and buy a whole bunch of, particularly when the money they repatriated back, they went into equipment. That's how we got up to such a high GDP for that first year last year, the first quarter last year. I mean, it's just, I wish we would have a 3% strong GDP, but we don't.
No, we don't.
And all these other numbers they give us, they just fudge them. They, you call them whatever you want, lies.
Well, they fudge the unemployment rate, 2 or 3 point something%. Well, we just saw that 50,000 more jobs are lost, 55,000 jobs lost this month alone. Okay, all right. So they're unemployed now. Maybe they're not necessarily. They're still drawing unemployment, perhaps, and they should count them. But they're not counting them, because if they stay the same all these last several months, been more people being laid off every month. What's going on? How come they're not counting these people?
Well, I mean, our true unemployment rate is more around 7%.
I'd say at least.
Unemployment is about 7%, 7 or 8.
I'd say at least.
But right there is a lie. They fudge the truth.
Well, this next report, I think, shows a little bit of a light in the tunnel, maybe, perhaps. I know people don't know the difference between hemp and marijuana, but hemp and marijuana are totally two different things. Hemp at one time was used in this nation for a lot of reasons, making clothing, making rope, building cars, even fueling cars. Henry Ford fueled a whole fleet with hemp, and he was challenging the oil company, saying, we can grow our own fuel. Of course, that didn't last very long. He challenged a steel company making his own car out of hemp that was indestructible. Take a sledgehammer, didn't even bend it. But that was taken out pretty quick, because the steel industry and the gas industry, oil industry, could not stand that. But hemp, when it's used right, is a very valuable product that's fueled a lot of things in a lot of nations, including America at one time. See, boom times are here. Hemp farming quadruples this year. A new report from Hemp Vote Hemp, a top hemp advocacy group, indicates the amount of licensed average of hemp farming across the U.S. has more than quadrupled this year. The report, the 2019 U.S. Hemp License Report, says the number of acres of hemp licensed across 34 states totaled 511,442 in 2019, a 455% jump year to year. State licenses to produce hemp were issued 16,877 farmers and researchers, a 476% year-to-year jump. We're seeing hemp cultivation dramatically expand in the U.S. in 2019, with over a quadruple the number of acres licensed in hemp compared to last year, an addition of 13 more states with hemp programs. Now, if hemp is raised, and it's not marijuana, there is a difference, believe me, check it out. If hemp is raised for the right reasons, this could help rebuild the infrastructure in a lot of different ways, because hemp can be used to make clothing, like I said. It can be used to replace metal, steel. It can be used for a lot of different reasons. And it's a very, I guess you could say, flexible product. And it was used in our country for years in the beginning of this country. But powers that be didn't want it to continue, because it cut back on their monopoly over a lot of things. But hemp is a very good product to look into, and maybe some farmers are going to figure this out. I don't know. But if it produces somebody, Melody, a way of making a living, and makes a good product, I'm all for it.
But couldn't you say that hemp would be the same as a poppy before a poppy is turned into?
I read on that. I'm not well versed, and I say for sure. I don't know.
The hemp is. Yeah, I get other products, but isn't the hemp the start of when it? If it's treated with the THC.
Well, if you treat it, particularly if you deal it for that purpose, I guess you could change it for that. But just with this pure hemp, it really has no value at all, making it buy higher or whatever. It isn't the same product.
But I don't even think that's the issue anymore, Butch. The way I see it, yeah, I think it's great if you can make a living out and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, I get that. But on the other hand, to me, I think it's just the stepping stone. It's just a stepping stone to confirm marijuana, and everybody knows. I think legalizing and marijuana in these states, and yes, I believe marijuana should be used as medicinal purposes. I get that, but I also believe if it's being used as medicinal purposes, it should be distributed by a pharmacy just like every other.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I do.
We shouldn't have little pharmaceutical marijuana medicinal places popping up all over the place. If it's going to be used as medicine, then have it distributed in the same manner. And I know a lot of people get upset with me.
But blame hemp, say hemp can be, of course hemp can manipulate, do who knows what.
If you
what
have one, you're going to have the other. That's the point.
But it's like saying TVs are blamed for pornography,
And most of these people who grow hemp, they're not doing it for fabric, for clothes, or rope. They're doing it for the marijuana business.
If they're doing
that's
it and producing that.
That's where the money is at. It's not for clothing.
So we will see what happens to that. I don't know. But again, blaming him for it's like blaming TV for pornography or a gun for murder. They don't go together.
That's what it's being grown for, though, isn't it?
It could be, but according to this right here in the hemp farms, it didn't say what the producing out of it, but I would like to thank the producers.
Well, they're not going to because it's probably marijuana.
Well, time will tell.
Last time you bought a shirt that was made out of hemp?
Well, I'm hoping to go back to it one day. That's the whole idea. Imagine having factories that actually did that again and brought jobs back to country with a renewable source instead of cotton. Use it for something, it's renewable, something we can use again. That's just a thought. Just a thought.
Well, I get it, but I think it has a deeper, darker.
Well, it definitely could. Everything man touches, it seems like he messes up. But I guess you know this too.
Because it's going to go where the money goes, and the money is in marijuana.
Yeah, that's usually the truth.
States need the taxes. Yeah.
That's why pornography is so big. I mean, it's where the money is.
Where the money is.
U.S. beats Saudi Arabia to become top oil exporter on shale boom. Did you know that? We are number one oil producer in the world now. It's because of shale production.
And because we're heading into a break.
There we go.
Hey, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. On the line, I need to hear it. One more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host for the week, Butch Paul. Well, actually, it's Thursday. You're always here on Thursdays. You join me Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yes.
So, yes, but I want to thank you for filling in for Dave.
And
we better get off that marijuana stuff. What else you got there?
I wouldn't talk about hemp, for goodness sake. Some of you callers tell her it's a different thing, will you? But anyway, let's move on then.
I'm one of those.
I find it's interesting. China, people in China get a little bit upset. You know why? Because the price of pork's been 47 cents this year, and they eat a lot of pork. And they found out that their pigs had an African swine fever, and it just wiped out all their hogs. So they're trying to import it, but to put the price up, went up 23% in August alone. In August, and it's going up 47% a year. So that's, say, 50% increase in their main food, and people are getting upset about that to the point that they're even discussing maybe a little bit of civil unrest in China. Go figure.
But I also know that I do believe they're going to be buying more pork from the U.S. I guess this was just, and we know that President Trump has delayed. Increase in tariffs for 2 weeks.
Yep, he did.
China is beginning, so they're beginning to get a little kissy-kissy, huggy-huggy to see what can happen. But it's getting close to the end of the year, too. Next year is going to be, so all this, they're going to come to some sort of agreement. I mean, I think this is already, I think it's already done. And I just think this is the theatrics that they're showing with us.
Maybe it could be that there's something good coming out of Trump's tariffs. I don't know. But some more articles here on Trump. Trump orders crackdown on California homelessness. President Trump has ordered White House officials to crack down on homelessness in California, according to an anonymously sourced Tuesday report in the Washington Post. Number one on the list appears to be Los Angeles and famous Skid Row, where vagrants will be moved into government-backed facilities. Trump is said to be actively involved in the effort, which is currently under discussion by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Domestic Policy Council, and the Department of Health and Human Services. One official cited the need to take action due to the rampant diseases and sewage problems, a.k.a. so much feces that San Francisco pays poop patrollers $185,000 a year to keep up with their poopy conditions, it says here. But anyway, they didn't say poopy. But ship high and transit here. But anyway, the send side joke, folks. I'll tell you sometime. But anyway, that's $185,000 a year to scoop the poop. So Trump wants him off the streets, and I can see that. But he's going to put in government facilities. I can see that, too, if it's temporary and what they really want out of their mess. But unfortunately, Melody, give somebody a freebie, they don't want to lose that.
What, he wants to gather them up and put them in a government facility? It's so wrong.
Yes, it is.
It's so wrong.
I agree.
But at least leave it to the states. It's not the federal government's job to scoop up people.
That's what they're going to do.
Address the real problem. And, it truly is disgusting. You have how many millionaires and billionaires living in Silicon Valley in California?
Yep.
the wealth that they have. Of course, it's the cost of living is high there too, but they make plenty. And they don't provide anything for these people. You know, well, what could they provide, Melody? You know? What could they provide, Butch?
Well,
donations to some of these, you know, charitable locations to where they provide housing and they do provide food and they do provide, you know, their needs and medical care and so forth. How about huge donations to them and address the real problem of why they're there to begin with?
And how about working with somebody that and to know whether they're really want off of it or not? If they keep wanting to come back for more and don't want to work, too bad for them. But temporarily help those that need help that actually want to come out of this mess. Let them get on their feet. That's what it's all about. Welfare should not be something guaranteed forever. It should be there to help those who want to help themselves. Is that fair enough?
Yeah. But you know what happened, though? Let's go back to the healthcare industry. This is what's happened to, you know, those that have the mental illness and so forth and the inabilities to work or succeed or whatever their problem might be. I mean, a lot of these facilities closed down because there wasn't the money. And they didn't scoop them up, but they kicked them out.
Yep. I know.
You know, so these people then go on to the street and survive and so forth. I mean, and there are places. I mean, there's some, certain cities that are, I know Prescott, Arizona was one. They have a big, they have a lot of rehabilitation centers. So you have a lot of people migrating there who, you know, have drug problems, alcohol problems, and so forth, that they try to go there, you know, to fix themselves and so forth. But then in the meantime, you get a lot of other charitable places that open up and provide, you know, for the poor and the homeless and so forth. So I don't know how, you know, what do we do, Butch?
The answer to me would be, of course, the government should never got involved in the first place. I know that, right. But the church got uninvolved. Government stepped in, and they started making a entitlement instead of something, a temporary help. When you start feeding somebody permanently, a lot of them, you ruin their desire to produce. So they quit producing. Why should they? They're going to eat anyway. And as long as you and I, and it's taken from us to feed those people that will not work, and of course that's unbiblical, obviously, but they take from us and force us to feed people that don't want to work, they just enable those people to continue down the road and produce more of the next generation who does the same thing, maybe worse. But that's America today. That's what's called socialism, and it's in full swing in America and had been for a long time.
And you know what? I don't know how you feel about it, but I guess the government is going to... I wanted to talk about the budget, but we could talk about that tomorrow. I did get the whole scoop, but with the hurricane that was in...
Right. Bahamas.
In the Bahamas, that those people can't come here. I agree with that. I mean, unless they have a certain, you know, place for them to go to, they just shouldn't be let loose. You know, someplace, you know, because they do have to be vetted and everything. I do believe in that. But my question is, who is helping over there?
Good question.
I mean, sure, I know people are being fed, they're being, you know, their health care, and I understand it takes time and so forth, but you don't see the pictures of the bulldozers removing debris, and maybe they can't because maybe they're still looking for bodies. I don't know.
So far, they say 2,500 are missing.
Yeah, but you would think that there'd be some sort of a temporary tents or something. I mean, who's helping them? You don't even hear much about the Red Cross.
No, you don't.
But anyway.
No, you don't. And moving on, the Supreme Court gave Trump a victory with his immigration policy to make a tough restriction on those seeking asylum. And, of course, the people know this probably. But if they're coming through Mexico and they're, say, coming from Guatemala, they have to first seek asylum in Mexico before they seek it here. So they just can't come to us and say, you're here, take us. They have to seek it in the nation that you're coming into next. And so that's, I think, it's a very fair request. I mean, if you want to leave your country, that's fine. But don't come direct to the United States. Just try somewhere else if they'll accept you. The United States is not the dumping ground for the world. That's my opinion. You don't think anything on that?
Well, no. I mean, I agree. And, you know, Mexico is coming out whining, you know, boo-hoo-hoo, you know, what are we going to do now? It's like, you know, just process, you know, at least process them, you know, before they get here. You know, do what we have to do, you know.
Exactly.
But,
I agree.
Yeah.
Another Trump article, historic milestone, Senate confirms 150th Trump judicial nominee. I didn't know it was that high. I really didn't. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham speaks to reporters on Capitol Hill in Washington Thursday. And this goes on to say the U.S. Senate confirmed President Trump's 150th judicial nominee Wednesday, helping to fulfill the president's campaign promise to remake the federal bench with a conservative bent. Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham called the number of confirmation a historic milestone. These conservative judicial appointments will impact the nation for years to come, the South Carolina Republican said. So, there you go. We'll see. I had no idea it was that high. I didn't know. So, we'll see.
Well, I'm just not sure. It would be interesting to get somebody on the program, Butch, that would, you know, that knows exactly the impacts that it will have in the future. I mean, we all know the Supreme Court. I mean, we get that. But how do some of these lower courts, how does it actually, and where were these actually, you know, was it a certain area? Was it all across the country? Or is it just a, you know, certain districts, or you know, it'd be interesting to see the breakdown.
Maybe you can find somebody to do that. That would be interesting. It really would. And this next article, I'm gonna give my opinion on. In my opinion, $1.50 by a cup of coffee by any restaurant. Accused of planting mysterious spy devices near the White House, Israel, folks, is accused of this. The likely Israel spying efforts were uncovered during this Trump presidency, several former top U.S. officials said. The U.S. government concluded within the last 2 years that Israel was most likely behind the placement of cell phone surveillance devices that were found near the White House and other sensitive locations around Washington, D.C., according to three former senior U.S. officials with knowledge of the matter. But unlike most other occasions with flagrant instances of foreign spying have been discovered on American soil, the Trump administration did not rebuke the Israel government, and there were no consequences of Israel's behavior, one of the former officials said. And that does bother me. I don't care who it is. That should not be tolerated. I don't care if it's Israel or Iran or Russia or China. When they're spying on us, I don't care who it is. They have no right. They have no business doing that. If they're caught, they should be punished. Just because it's Israel doesn't make it right, Melody Cedarstrom. It does not. And we know Trump's become a very good friend with him in a lot of different ways. But nonetheless, if they're spying on us, and we're supposed to be their allies, they're supposed to be our friends, why are they spying on us?
Yeah, I have a question, though.
Yes.
And I agree with you 150%. I agree with you. My question is, why would they plant the devices since they got Kushner in the White House?
That's a good question.
You know?
That's a good question. I don't know, but I mean, it irritates me. They get by with that, and no one says a word to them. It's just wrong.
Well, it is, but again, you know, it's I don't know, but I agree. It's just wrong, and you know, and to deny it and not say anything about it is, you know,
it's wrong.
It's wrong.
And scientists create a device, and listen to this, that can mass produce human embryos, not embryos, embryos.
I just said hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids. These human embryo-like structures were synthesized from human stem cells. They've been stained to illustrate different cell types. It goes on that of the embryos on the new device that was invented to make them. Now, I'm trying to find. Okay, here's what I want to read. We're running out of time. But it also raises questions about where to draw the line. Now, pay attention to this. In manufacturing synthetic human life. Wow. Is that out in the open? Synthetic human life? Really, that's amazing.
And they would be raised for human parts.
Would these beings be able to think and reason? And would they be, I mean, would they have a soul?
I think they would just be raised for body parts.
But how humane would that be to raise a being that feels
well,
pain?
I'm not agreeing with it.
I know, but I know what you're saying. I agree with you. But I'm just, how evil.
Very.
How evil. I just, oh my.
Well, you know what, Butch, from the beginning of time, I think it was always, there was always somebody who wants to rule the world. Now that's sort of been changed because now we have the New World Order that's ruling the world. And now it's the goal is to live forever.
Oh, it is. Anyway, but God says the way you can do it. Anyway, but His way. One last article here, too. The USSA government asked Apple and Google to hand over info on gun owners. Here we go again. If you buy a certain scope or whatever, they want to know who you are and where you're from and when you bought it. I don't want time to read the whole thing. But it's just amazing. The land of the free is certainly shrunk down a lot over the last 30, 40 years, has it not?
It certainly has. And there's nothing in this that's happening to change anything.
No, it isn't. Now. Because the Americans can say that they like the idea. Now, it's no lie. They are comfortable with the idea that law enforcement has your biometric scans and facial recognition technology. They're comfortable with that because they trust law enforcement. I wish that to be that was a fact and we could. But surely by now we've seen that not to be true. But Americans are warming up the idea.
I mean, I can trust law enforcement, but I can't trust them protecting me.
There you go. You can't trust who makes the law.
Yes, exactly. You know, I was in the store today, and I don't have time to share this story, but the guy at the cashier was, and he was probably 80 years old working, and I don't know, I told him I didn't have any cash, so I used my credit card, and he says, my attorney told me I should always have $10 with me. He says, in case I'm mugged, at least I can give him something. I says, well, why? He says, well, so I have something to give him so he doesn't shoot me. I says, well, I'd rather have a gun than $10. He says, well, so would I. And he says, I do carry.
Amen. All right. Guess I'll see you tomorrow.
Alrighty, Butch. Thank you for joining me. And thank you, listeners, for also sitting in with us for this hour. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night. And God bless.